Welcome, y'all, to Critical Clicks! Your own clicks!
Damn my greatness!
That there's nothing I can do to save you.
Your own clicks!
Give it up for Jaws' host,
Lucas Van Holland.
And Scott Cram Company Crampton.
Hey guys, this is Lucas Van Holland, and here's my partner.
Hey, I'm Scott Cram Company Crampton. Welcome to Critical Clicks, an adult podcast for the competitive HeroClix player, where we put the hard R rating in HeroClix. And I officially want to thank everybody. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Thanks to the people who listen to this show because they are bored or don't have better things to do with their life. Thank you for that. Or maybe you just are a person that, you're a winner, but you make some bad life choices, like a guy who's rich but does a lot of cocaine, something like that.
Okay.
Or like, a guy who like is works at a church and is really nice to everybody, but also is a Jets fan. You make a couple bad choices in life, you're just that kind of, and to celebrate the holidays, we are going to be reviewing the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday calendar. Now, this is straight spoilers. If you are playing the advent calendar and you want to like look at it for the first time, blah, blah, fast forward through that. But before we do that, Lucas has a, something he'd like to talk to in Sucks a Bag of Clicks.
There is a HeroClix figure you like. You rated a 7 out of 6. I just want you to know it sucks a bag of clicks.
We have not done a Sucks a Bag of Clicks in a while. Who do you have your submission?
My submission this week, or this time, because we don't really do it every week, is actually going to be Phoenix Sentinel.
Yeah, he sucks. All right. Good episode.
Fair
All
enough.
Right, guys,
Fair
if you're
enough.
Not.
No. No. So Phoenix Sentinel, when Phoenix Sentinel's first previewed, when he first came out, everybody kind of looked at this and went, he's neat, but he's not amazing, right? There's too many ways
how
for people
do you
to
get
come
him across the map.
Yeah. How do you get him across the map? There's way too many ways for people to kill him. Yeah. Mad Jim can give him equipment, but like, it's not that great. It's fine. Right. But now with a lot of stuff that had just rotated out of modern, and we're also looking at a lot less equipment, no necro sword, impervious is a little bit more reliable. There's not as much penetrating. I understand the surfers have it, like,
but you can also put him next to Iron Inquisitor, right?
You can. Yeah. There's a lot of really good options to keep him alive. The big reason why I think that the Phoenix Sentinel is worth looking at right now is actually because of people mostly relying on small maps. And I think that what you're going to find is with people wanting to go to small maps almost every time, that you're going to have these situations where they will just autopilot a small map. And when they do that, your Phoenix Sentinel just has full map reach. Like, Phoenix Sentinel on a small map has full map reach because he starts in row 2 and then he has a 5 square running shot because he's a 10 speed. And then that ends with a 9 range. So he does effectively have full map reach on his own.
And 9 range is so big right now that quite literally you can't
run from him.
You can't really run from him on an outdoor map. Now, they could pick an indoor map. That's kind of the option. But remember, his big thing is this, just as a reminder. One, he cannot be outwitted. So just as a quick reminder. Two, he has a stop click. He's only 4 clicks for 75 points. But it is a magnificent 4 clicks. He has psychic blast when he hits with a range attack. After resolutions, each hit opposing character deals 1 damage to each opposing character within 3 squares of them. They share a keyword team ability. Now, see, the reason this is bad is nobody's playing theme right now.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, no, everybody's playing theme now. Everybody's single person playing. Is playing theme. 100% of people. Now, when he goes off, he is broken. He has two targets. It's not insane if you're playing Mad Jim to put the billy clubs on him because it just does so much damage. There's just so much damage that he's doing. Now, there's other things you can put on him as well.
I think pumpkin bombs is probably the best because people like you just mentioned Inquisitor, right?
Yep.
Inquisitor is very like showy of how people like to play this game, which is I clump up and we clump up and we sit and we stay in our formation, no exceptions. And that's the end of that. And so what happens when you're clumped up in a formation against a character who has energy explosion and can see everybody? Well, everybody's going to get hit. Well, if you're team sizes right now are anywhere from 5 to 7 figures. If I energy explode and I hit all 7 characters and you're playing a theme team where everybody shares a keyword, your whole team takes 7 and dies and the game is over. Congratulations. So yeah. It's one of those things where
it's a tremendous amount of damage. So to really, really explain to people how that would work. So you energy explode somebody in the center, right?
And yeah, just whoever. And he has 2 targets. So you, like, even if it's a different kind of formation, you can still make sure that just about everybody gets hit.
Yeah. And from in the middle of the map, the small maps, 9 range, either way, you can be in both corners and he can hit you in both corners.
Yep. And you can't hide.
Obviously, high defense is a good deterrent for him. Like, that's probably one of his best deterrents.
Like getting him to a 14 isn't that hard. Like, I understand last episode we were talking about Jennifer Kale, and so you can pretty much force the 11, and I get that. But what we're looking at is a situation where, like, let's say he does end up hitting versus a Jennifer Kale. Jennifer Kale instantly dies. There is no masterminding that damage. There is no running away from it. There is no hiding from it. The only way to make sure that Jennifer wouldn't get hit by that is if she's more than 3 squares away from the rest of her team, which is completely counterintuitive to what you want.
Yes. Yeah. Which obviously that doesn't work at all. So you can get a lot of rolls on it. They can't get many rolls back other than probably a porter roll. But yeah, he is. And the big thing is, as long as they're not dead, they keep dealing damage. So even if they were hit, like if they were a hit target, that doesn't matter. If they're a hit target and then there's 4 people next to them, they're doing 1 damage to each person, pen. And then they're also doing, if they were as a part of an energy explosion, it's all going on each other. So yep. You can easily have this hit for 5-6 pen damage. Without really breaking a sweat. It's very impressive. It is. So I have to say, does not suck a bag of clicks. I think is on an unthemed team, which again, I think is good. I think the best thing you can do right now on non-themed teams is make people make tough choices. You know, build this to work with Morlock tunnels, right? And, maybe build it with a healing team. Where either they have to come at you or you're going to get your Necron up or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. You know, I cannot stress that I feel how I truly, truly feel like Necron plus Scott Porter with the ring on Scott Porter is just an absurdly great use of 65 points, even if there's nothing else going on. Like, I think that you probably play the Batman too. Oh, here's a great one. If you had 2 Necrons, hypothetically, I'm not saying this is the right play, but hypothetically, Phoenix Sentinel could be under 2 things, right? And you couldn't see him.
I believe Batman's deal only counts for characters with the Black Lantern Corps keyword.
Does it?
Yeah, I believe so. It's not all friendly characters.
Okay, well, that would definitely be a difference. Free generate grave marker, blah, blah, blah. When it's not your turn, lines of fire drawn to friendly characters through any friendly grave hindering terrain marker
friendly block. Characters, period.
Period. Friendly characters, period.
Okay. Yeah. Then if
which it doesn't what, say by the way, I haven't ranked my list of figures right now in a long, long time, and we're not doing it today. But I believe Batman is number 1 right now, or at least top 3.
I don't agree with that. I think Surfer actually takes that cake.
Well, Surfer doesn't do well if he can't see. I mean, he does okay, but
I mean, all he needs to do is roll a 7 against Batman, or actually it's a 6 with Scott Porter. It's not that hard.
I hear you. It's just not being able to stop people from making range attack is fucking bonkers.
Oh yeah, it's good. And 100% it's good.
Yeah, sure. He's really good. I just think Batman does more. But Carnage is very good too. They're all amazing figures. I think Batman should be played an absurd amount. I probably will play Batman on whatever team I build, period. I just think he's too good.
Interesting.
So
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I just think the grave marker thing is really, really powerful. And if you're building for it, there's some stuff that can be really brutal, like just an offshoot thing, right? You play non-theme Batman, Necron, so you're at 80 right there. Porter's 25, so you can heal. You get 2 grave markers every turn. You play Jennifer Kale, and then you play what's his name that gives everybody combat reflexes. You're basically kind of saying you have to come at me from close, and you will be dealing with combat reflexes.
Yep.
It's not nothing. It's definitely not nothing.
Like that. Definitely not nothing.
Yeah, that's, and it's not a tremendous amount. What was the most expensive figure I named? 40, Batman. 40, 25.
Oh, point wise. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, cost wise, Batman.
Cost wise. Yeah. They're fucking expensive as shit, but yeah. All right. So let's get into the meta.
He picked 8 winning cocks. It's never been done.
You don't know what winning is, Bert. You're a loser.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
Jingle, jingle. It's Christmas time. All right.
Anywho.
All right. So that went into 2 of the 3 impressions I know how to do. The other one is worst episode ever. And that's my comic book guy. And now you've heard all of the Scott Crampton impressions. Oh, except for one. I have one last one. I'm sorry. Hello, I am bad at HeroClix. That was PJ. All right. All right. So Star-Lord, he's a motherfucking Star-Lord. All right. So there's only 12 of these. So at the beginning of the game, generate 4 standard objects into any square within range. So the big thing about all these characters is they're all about picking up light objects just when Egg rotates out. Son of a bitch. All right. Now, other friendly characters, gifts to Cherub Quill. Other friendly characters can use Perplex. When they use it from this source, they must destroy it. Thank God they wrote from this source. They must destroy an object they are holding, or that use of a Perplex has no effect. I don't know if there's a thing in here, but I feel like Adam Friedman's rolling around in his grave right now, just being like, oh my God, I can take up 7 hours of 100-point characters pointlessly using Perplex. Like, I can just be like, I'm going to play 35-point characters, and then every turn I just tell you what they're perplexing, and it doesn't matter. When Star-Lord would be KO'd, you may instead replace him with young Peter on click 3. So not bad. I mean, not good, but not bad. Tough to say. Like, at 60 points for a character that makes 4 objects, has a stop click, is 7, becomes another character on a stop click, is 7 clicks long, and gives everybody potentially a couple perplexes, and is a wild card. That's probably not good enough, but it's fucked up that it's not. He's a hyperspeed flyer with an 18 energy shield and 3. That should be good enough. It really should. Thanks, agreed. Power Creep. All right, you want to go through Drax, buddy?
Not really.
All right.
Drax the Destroyer.
On the second day of Christmas, you got Drax, motherfucker.
Yep. Drax takes a maximum one damage from range attacks. That's pretty cool.
That is good.
I like that a lot.
Very good.
The next thing is when he attacks one or more characters with the celebrity keyword, modifies attack and damage by plus one. So he is a direct answer to Scott Porter. He just comes up and smacks Scott in the face.
Yep.
The next thing, and I love the reference because it's him wrestling with Kevin Bacon, which is hilarious. It's hilarious. The next part of it is, you know, his object effect is when he's holding an object, put it down in an adjacent square. It's a free action. Characters adjacent to objects Drax put down this turn modified damage plus one when making close attacks or giving a close destroy action. Mm-hmm. So he's a roundabout in power. It's not super great, but it's fine. Like it's not a big deal.
Yeah, if there was some character that said you can't make close attacks, yep, then Drax would be money. But there's not. And he's still good. He's still really good. Mantis might be playable. So in their history of making Mantises, I also want to note that so far Drax also has wild card and there's a 30 point option for him. Mm-hmm. So he's not nothing. Mantis plasticity. Other friendly characters with the Guardians of the Galaxy keyword can use plasticity. That's not bad. Free. If Mantis is holding an object, destroy it. I guess it gives Scott Porter plasticity. If Mantis is holding an object, destroy it. If you do choose an adjacent opposing character, that character can't target Mantis until your next turn, unless it's the last character on its force. So I don't think you'd ever consider playing this person at 60 points, but for 25 points, you get double target mind control, 11 attack, two clicks of super senses and prob control. And you just have her hold an object and then destroy it. And now they're just tied up with this character they can't do anything about.
Mm-hmm.
She also ignores characters for movement. So she could potentially tie up a character two or three times. And there's not a lot they could do about it unless they have a way to get out of plasticity. I kind of like her.
Yeah, no, she's cool. I like Mantis a lot. 25 points for prob is fine. That in and of itself is good.
And wild card. And
wild card with Guardians. Yeah. I like her a lot. I was actually going to play her in the last round of the broadcast event that we just did, and I couldn't because it was banned. I was like, oh, I'm sad. Somebody beat me to it.
All right. And then we have Groot. They have a long history of not making a good Groot.
Yeah.
Yep. You want to
read Groot, a good buddy? Since AI.
All wild cards so far.
Yeah. So the whole team, you know, pairs well with other characters that have decent team abilities, so like Spider-Man family, Skrulls, you know, Shield, all that stuff, or they're good to splash on teams. So I think that's that in and of itself is a really good, like, it's a good way to make things like this desirable, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah,
it's like, oh, hey, you buy it, at least you're going to have a decent number of wild cards.
Yeah.
And I like that. Groot, on the other hand,
he just destroys. He has to do a power action to make two objects, and they're immediately held by other Guardians members. And then if he's holding object opposing characters, then four can't use stealth. That is if stealth becomes huge and there's no other options, kind of weird thing.
Groot's biggest thing that he has going for him, I find, is that his dial is enormous.
80 points, he's 10 clicks long. That's a lot.
Yeah,
but
even six clicks for 40 points is nothing to scoff at.
Oh, wow. Is it that high? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, pass. He's definitely the worst of the characters who we reviewed. Like, he doesn't have anything particularly going for him. Like, Drax has a couple things. Like, Mantis, you can breathe things. Star-Lord, you can even squint your eyes and be like, well, this is a good Star-Lord. If you were like, I gotta play Guardians, this might be the Star-Lord you pull. Cosmo, other friendly characters can use support as free. When they use it from this source, they must destroy an object they're holding or that support has no effect. Again, I feel like if I do this right, I can take one turn in a game. All my characters are now going to do support. Now they're going to use perplex. Imagine how broken Cosmo would be if support was still a role.
Well, it is. It's just not an attack. That's not a
It's not an attack. Imagine if this allowed all your characters to attack each other. All right. So telekinesis, when he uses and places the friendly character after resolutions, that character may pick up an object in their square. That is so fucking specific. Where's Eggman?
Give me them objects. Give me them presents.
Give me the ingredients. All right. So I don't love Cosmo. I don't think you play Cosmo even on a Guardians team. I think you play the other Cosmo.
Yeah, you play the
all right.
Sure.
Talk to me about Kraglin.
19 defend and passengers four.
And he can carry characters holding objects. Neat. Yeah. And he moves nine.
Sure does.
Now, friendly characters with guardians within four may count squares in range line of fire as if they occupied Kraglin's square. It's a very weird power.
It's a very good power.
Yeah, friendly characters within four may count square range and draw lines of fire as if they occupied
Kraglin. Allows you to corner shoot, angle shoot, extend your range. It's all really good.
Yeah. There's a lot of them, and it doesn't say may count range draw. So they just have to be within four. So they don't have to have a line of fire to hit.
Correct.
And that's the big thing. Mm-hmm. And all right. So now you have a 19 defend character that's carrying people. Is that good enough?
Yes.
Is it? So you, and he's wild card. So yeah, this is one of the better taxis now, isn't it? He has cosmic pirate vehicle ravengers. You wouldn't put Frenchie on him.
Not probably not. I mean, not if you're specifically trying to go either non-theme or vehicle theme.
Yeah. I mean, cosmic's not much of a theme right now, but I still think he's very good. Carrying four right now is very good. The problem is he's so close to like 50 points. You get,
Kid Thanos
and the swapping and all this different shit. But on the other hand, with Kraglin, what you're getting is 19 defend. And as we're finding out, defend is not easy to get anymore.
Correct. 19 defend plus Jennifer Kale is obviously a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we didn't even talk about it, but I mean, Kraglin, I didn't put, because it's a, he breaks theme, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so talk to me about Nebula, buddy.
She's not very good.
Yeah, but if she hits with a close attack instead of normal damage, she may unequip hit character and then pick up the unequipped equipment. Charge when she uses it after resolution, so you may make a ranged attack. Why is this? How good are figures nowadays? There's a 25-point figure that's three clicks long, 11 attack, exploit weakness, precision strike that when you charge and just use charge, you then make a free range attack and you can shoot out of adjacency. And that's still just not good enough. Boo. Nope. Boo that not being good enough. I'm going to say she's okay. She's also a 25-point wild card.
That is true. For what it's worth, just looking at her, her dial really confuses me. Because her 25-point line is so much better than her 50-point line, it hurts.
Crazy different. Like, crazy better. Like, you'd rather super senses than combat reflexes. You'd rather...
Why 2 RCE? Why 10 for 2 RCE? Why not 11 for 3 with RCE for 50 points? That would have made it at least feel better. Because now you're just going to play 2 Nebulas at 25 if you were going to play her. Like, there's just no point.
Yeah, there's no point to that. Wild card. I like her. I disagree with you. I think Nebula is a considered playable piece, a tier four attacker kind of thing, or a fourth string attacker. I don't know. It depends on what you're wild carding. But yes, I understand it's tough. 25 points is a lot in HeroClix nowadays. Rocket Raccoon, overseeing Nowhere's reconstruction, free. Choose an object held by any character with guardians that isn't holding an object. The chosen object is now held by the chosen character. That is very fucking specific and not likely to happen.
It swaps objects is all it does.
Yes. When an opposing character targets Rocket Raccoon after resolutions, you may choose that Rocket can use Charge, Battle Fury, and Blaze Claws until your next turn. I do like that from a thematic standpoint. I think that's pretty dope. Yeah. I don't think he's playable.
Not for 35 points.
No. Yeah, and 50 points is what you're probably targeting, but he's a 4 range on that. Yeah. All right, you can read this one and his name.
Zer McTalkalock.
Yeah, you seem to have nailed that pretty well. Way better than I thought.
It's
not going to be a Merry Christmas for old Scott.
Yeah, Berserk Mikitakalok. Misunderstood holiday lyrics from the characters that are adjacent or have guardians have safeguard Pulse Wave, and their powers and abilities have protected Pulse Wave. That's really good.
Yeah, but when you do want protected Pulse Wave... Oh, a lot. That's right.
All the time.
Yeah. Pulse Wave, when he uses it, if he's holding an object, his range is 6 instead of 4.
And he has perplex. And he doesn't hurt friendlies.
He doesn't hurt friendlies. So he is I think you would probably get him to do that. I think that is a reasonable thing that you would try to get him to do. And yeah.
He pairs really well with Scott Porter as well. Like, I could definitely see people running a team with him and Scott, and just to get, you know, a bunch of like drop ship, do a couple pulse waves kind of thing. Like, yeah, he's not hard to kill, but who cares if he gets a pulse wave off? It doesn't matter.
He is not hard to kill. What, 6 range? It feels like he'd just be in the middle. Man.
His pulse wave gives you improved targeting characters and double circle arrows. So he can just be in the middle of a formation and still pulse wave all the opposing characters around him.
Now I will figure out how to say this name. Wyando. Yondun.
Sound it out. You got this.
Yondun. Nundun. Nundun. Nun. All right. So Yondu, don't come at Wii U with no gifts. When an opposing character would be equipped or starts the game equipped, roll a d6. If Yondu is on a theme team, increase the result by +1. So it's a 5-6 or a 4-5-6. Remove that equipment from the game. Leadership. When he uses it before rolling, he may destroy an object he's holding to automatically succeed on the roll. He's 70 points, but he might be one of the only scenarios in the game right now that is just like, I'm going in the Matt Esbrook version of playing the game where you're just like, I'm never going to move. The other person who does that a lot is Scott Crampton. Scott Crampton loves being in the starting area of somebody like that. Big fan. I just want to be in the starting area and never leave.
Yay! Basilio's back.
Yes.
And he doesn't have to roll against an opposing character or against an opponent. And if he's on theme, it's 50-50. So there are a lot of teams that get a lot of free equipment and things like Mad Gym exists. You just get to say, oh, that equipment's gone.
Yep.
And that's pretty crazy.
I don't, it's at the, or starts the game. If Yondu's on a theme team, increase, remove it. When an opposing character would be equipped. So hypothetically, the +1 rollers or the, you know, the tarot cards do affect this. But
only during the game. Yeah.
Only during the game for like a Mad Gym kind of thing. But
Somebody who gets KO drops their equipment and somebody else tries to pick it up.
For whatever it's worth, he is triple target precision strike, which isn't the worst thing to be.
Think of it this way. If an opponent is playing 45 points of equipment, which is not outside the realm of possibility, especially with all the free equipments that exist. If you're playing 45 points of equipment and let's say you KO 30 points of it, right? It's a couple 50-50 rolls. Some games you're going to hit it, some you're not.
Yep.
But at that point, if you KO 30 points of equipment, you can think of him more as like a 40 or 30 point character at that point. And that's a lot easier to stomach. And just starting the game up on points puts pressure on your opponent. And that's really powerful.
Past. Is there a good way to get past somehow into things or not really?
To give past? No. There are some decent characters with past, like fucking Cap Wolf.
So putting him on a theme team is challenging, though. That's the problem.
I don't think so. I think putting him on a theme team is very easy.
Guardians, Ravager,
Pirate, Vehicle. He is Vehicle.
Okay.
There's a ton of good stuff in Wheels of Vengeance that has vehicle. And also, for what it's worth, for past specifically, yeah. Cap on Pegasus has passed.
So 7 caps in Pegasus. Yondu.
Why not? I mean, if you're up 40 points at the start of the game, sure. Who cares?
That's good. That's good. Now, Lucas, what do you want for Christmas? What do you hope to open Christmas morning? I hope you get a... And what's this character's name? Is this what you're hoping for, buddy?
Nice try.
A young Peter? That's what you want, buddy? You want a young Peter? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
I'll even go the less X-rated version of that joke and just a young Peter like you used to have when you were young and it worked. Unfortunately, of course, now it doesn't work. It's huge. A huge tri-sentinel, broken tri-sentinel cock. It's terrible.
Burdened with glorious purpose, as they say.
All right, so talk to me about young Peter.
Wouldn't you like to know? Unwrapping the quad blasters, free destroy an object young Peter's holding. If you do this turn, young Peter can use double circle arrow targeting, pen sign, and range combat expert. And then he has power, generate a standard object. Young Peter, an adjacent character with guardians, may immediately pick up that object. So he just generates objects, but he's a 25 point prob.
He's better egg.
That can actually attack.
Yep. He's an egg that can actually attack. I don't hate him. He's also a wild card. I know we keep saying that term over and over and over again, but like 25 points for a wild card is much better than a lot of things. Like those cheaper wild cards, suddenly they have Batman enemy or Spider-Man enemy or... Why did I say Spider-Man enemy? I meant Superman enemy. But now they're kind of doing stuff. It's pretty good.
Yep.
He might be playable. And don't forget that it is power. I did not realize it was a power to generate a standard object.
Yeah.
Don't like that as much. Do not like that as much at all. Thought it was a free, just assumed it was a free action. All right. If you can't get a young Peter, I hope you get some of Bucky's arm, buddy.
This is a really good object. Bucky's arm, 5 points for CCE and super senses on a 6. Great.
That's way too good.
Yeah.
Qualifying name. After the Porter thing, they decided to use names. until they create the new Porter that can be every name. Yes, this is
Nebula, Rocket Raccoon, and Winter Soldier. Get it for free. Otherwise, it's 5 points. So
yeah,
it's
definitely worth those it. Are tough ones. Should we just state that? Doesn't that make? Yeah, that does make 25 point Nebula significantly better, dude.
She's a 12 for 4.
She charges for 3 and then is a 12 for 4 when shooting.
She doesn't get a benefit from the senses, but the CCE for free is definitely worth it.
And yeah, it's definitely, I mean, that's a good, you're wrong, dude. That's a decent character. A 12 fourth at attack store. That's good.
Six speed.
What's that? Yeah, I know.
Six
I know.
Speed.
I know, but you'd have no problem with it if it was 8. So you're basically like,
I don't think that's true. I don't like 8 fucking square charge pieces right now either.
Yeah, okay.
Because they made close combat just as lackluster as it always has been. Like, I don't have an issue with 3 square running shot because most characters have a range value of like 4 to 6.
But 3
square charges, just give them fucking sidestep at that point. Like, at least they can move every turn. Like it's just a bad design in my opinion. I'm not a fan. But the stats, the attack and damage, yeah, that's fine. But like if she ever gets a hit off, then fine. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
That is fair. but you're wrong. And that's also fair. I think she's better than Star-Lord, Drax, probably Mantis, Groot, Cosmo, Rocket. Yeah, I think young Peter too. So I think she's like the third best figure here. But that's just my thought as the person who's right all the time versus the person who just can't stop talking about young Peter. Before the show, after the show. That's just what it is.
You got it. You figured it out.
You got it. Yeah, man. You know, even when I think they're not power creeping, they do power creep. It's really weird. It's really weird how it works. Like, I think like, oh, that's not, they didn't power creep much this year. And then I don't know.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. I always relic back to Ed being like, this character's not good. They don't even have every power. This figure's not good. It doesn't even have every keyword. All right, guys, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. I'm sure we'll be back before Christmas, of course. But until then, this is Scott and Lucas reminding you that if you're not playing competitively,
you might as well be playing with yourself. Good night.
Good night.
Critical Clicks, Critical Clicks. You've been listening to Critical Clicks, Critical Clicks, Critical Clicks. You should stop listening to Critical Clicks.
Because it's over. Yeah, you should go home. Yeah. It's a podcast.